At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor with Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, my cricket guide, instructor, coach. However, this is a quiet period for Australian cricket, having won the Ashes so resoundingly. Apparently, they get a few weeks off in the middle of winter before the springtime, and they go on the road again to show off their skills. In the meantime, I wander into the Telegraph in London, reporting on a rugby championship match between New Zealand and South Africa. The New Zealand team I've heard of before because they're considered famous, the All Blacks. Jeremy, you've been to rugby games. Is it true to say that it's like football? Because I've seen that they dribble the ball, that it looks very large, and eventually they try to kick it through these two poles that look about 500 feet tall.
It is very true to say that, John. In fact, the only difference between American football and rugby, I think, really is the timing and the fact that in rugby, we have to keep the game moving forward because there's only 80 minutes to actually get the game completed. So where there is a lot more, I guess, stopping and starting in American football, in rugby, there's a lot less. You do get time penalties if you try and, I guess, run out the clock. But the biggest thing is that you've just got to keep the ball moving forward in rugby. So what you do see is, like similar to American football too, you see this, these lines of big burly guys and girls, because we do have the women's league, who are constantly trying to move this ball forward. But of course, the ruling is that they can only pass backwards. So the aim of the game is basically to try and meet your opponents head on, knock the other team out of the way so that you can get the ball to run forward. And just like an end zone in American football, you have to get the ball on the ground past the in your scoring area to score a goal. And as you pointed out too, these guys aren't wearing pads and helmets. So you can imagine, John, when you're going up against guys that are 120, 140 kilograms, so we're talking maybe, you know, 300 pounds, just coming the blows all the time without pads. It's an absolute spectacular sport to watch, but oh my goodness, I've played it a few times, and we do have they call it the no touch rugby leagues here in Australia, where you don't actually tackle each other. But it is honestly a tiring game to play, and it's one of those games that you really want to make sure you hit the other person right, because you can do some serious damage to your body.
Now 80 minutes and the clock just keeps running, except for injury time. Does that stop the clock?
They do in injury time, and also when there's free try. So basically when there's penalty kicks into the goals, when basically a penalty has been awarded, and also too when there's a conversion. So when basically the ball's gone across the line, but it hasn't gone across the line in the goal. And what happens is that that team then has the opportunity to kick the ball from the sidelines into the goal as well and convert that into more points. So and basically what the point is on conversion is you get two bonus points above the normal 5 points that you get when you get it across the line. So you can basically turn 5 points into 7 points if you get the ball across a certain part of the line.
What about the dribbling? How does that work?
That's the interesting part. And you can get the ball to move forward. You can keep the ball forward, but you aren't allowed to actually pass it to a player that's forward. So what the goal is, as I was mentioning before, trying to get as many of the other team out of your way so you can clear up some space in front of your line of players and just move the ball forward. Just, you know, dribble it forward as far as you can, but get there before the other team grabs it and basically pushes it back the other way. So it's a very quick game, and it's one of those games where there's a lot of strategy involved. And because you aren't able to stop and do plays as such, similar to American football, it is very much on the fly. But these guys that play, especially at this level of, say, the All Blacks, the New Zealanders, and certainly the Wallabies, which is the Australian national team, I mean, they are guys that have been playing this for many, many years, some of them from as young as 5 years old. So they know the strategies, they know how to make it work, and it's just fascinating to watch, John. Honestly, it is.
New Zealand's a little bitty country. Australia's a great big country. And every time I ask, you say, oh, yes, this is a rivalry. But New Zealand is boasting about how good they are. Are they better than anybody else?
You know what, John, I'd hate to admit, I really hate to, but the reality is they always give us, the Wallabies, a run for our money. And the New Zealanders just are phenomenal rugby players. And I think it's because in their culture, culturally, they probably play rugby more than most countries around the world, because even here in Australia, which we do have this big rugby culture, outside of the East Coast, especially outside of, say, Sydney and Brisbane up in Queensland, people play Aussie rules. So it's a slightly different game. It's not rugby. It's got very different rules. And it draws, I guess, the population between the two different codes. Whereas in New Zealand, it is very much, you know, rugby, rugby, rugby. And I mean, they grow strong guys, I guess is the best way to put it. They not only have their Maoris, which is the indigenous New Zealanders, who are normally very, very tough guys. I mean, their whole population is growing up on it, and they just know how to play it well. So, I mean, honestly, John, as an Australian, I hate to say it, but I think, yeah, certainly the All Blacks really are probably the best team right now.
Now, help me. If someone's from New Zealand and lives in Australia, is he a New Zealander or an Australian?
Well, it really depends who's winning the rugby, I think. If the All Blacks are winning, he's a New Zealander all of a sudden.
I see. So you have a running rivalry with New Zealand, and rugby favors New Zealand. Does cricket favor Australia? Does New Zealand have a good cricket team?
The cricket team, luckily enough, is not so good in New Zealand. It does have its moments, and it is a very competitive team. But Australia is where we sort of tend to shine in cricket. And I think it's because in Australia, cricket is one of the more dominant sports, even more than rugby and football. So we do have a much bigger support behind bringing the younger players up to professional levels. But, I mean, I wouldn't still waste the New Zealanders as far as their competition in cricket, because sometimes they do come out with some absolute crackers, and they have beaten us before, so I'll never say die with them.
Did I say correctly that this is a quiet period for cricket? The cricketers are getting ready to start in springtime.
It is. It very much is. The international competition right now has lessened, because as we start to go through the winter here in the Southern Hemisphere, here we are starting to move towards our spring training and then our summer competition, which Southern Hemisphere cricket tends to be much more international than the Northern Hemisphere, because in the Northern Hemisphere, especially in the UK, they have much more district competition. So it's much more just within the United Kingdom, and the same too, very much throughout much of Europe. But here in the Southern Hemisphere, we tend to drive the international competition quite heavily just by nature of many of the teams are from the Southern Hemisphere. So we are quiet, but basically, as far as the cricketers themselves, this is when they're starting to really ramp up, starting to get the conditioning done, get the strategy done, and we're ready for a fiery season of cricket in summer.
I've been watching cricket on YouTube and practicing my glossary of words, and so I'm ready for the season for you to instruct me how to get excited about things. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, my cricket guide, but we took a moment out to say he's my rugby guide too. Apparently rugby for New Zealand is not quite the same casualness that it is elsewhere in the world, I learned. They take it very, very gravely. And that's a good thing. After the 2 years of pandemic, both Australia and New Zealand have had a rough go of it. Jeremy Zakas, New South Wales, in Sydney. The Rock Rat is back. The Great Barrier Reef is back. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.